best props. For me, Barry, I'm going Debo anytime touchdown because it's plus money. Debo is plus 115 to score tonight. That can be through the air, on the ground. I don't know if I trust the Niners, but I trust Debo.
Gibbons inside, Gibbons throws, it's caught by Debo Samuel, breaks a tackle, 40, Debo 35, 30, 25, 20, breaks another tackle, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, San Francisco!
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
If you saw that highlight, for those of you watching on Peacock here at noon, though it is 5 o'clock somewhere, or even if you were just listening to that on the podcast, what you saw is Debo Samuel running through defenders, every 49er down the field, blocking their butts off. But if you looked closely, you saw it in his eyes, and you could see Debo's lips move a little bit, doing this for Connor. Doing this for Connor.
What did I need?
I saw Connor go out on a limb and say, give me Debo anytime touchdown at plus money. I'm scoring a touchdown. Debo Samuel cashes. Thank you for thank you, Connor. Nice call there, helping everyone
take
some BetMGM money. Hope you didn't listen to me and taking the Rams plus two. Terrible call by me. What's going on with Sean McVay? Sean McVay owes me money. Matthew Stafford owes me money. Honestly, you know who owes everyone money is Allen Robinson.
Ooh, man, it's been a tough go for Allen Robinson for a while now, but it's in a new uniform this time. So a huge thank you to Debo Samuel, a huge thank you to BetMGM that kind of motivated him with that plus money.
I think he did. You should get all the credit. So let's dive in quickly. Waivers, it is waivers today. A lot of waivers, Connor Rogers. But first, this Monday Night Football game.
Absolutely. The guys that we expected to be big-time players in the wide receiver market, Cooper Kupp and Debo Samuel, they showed out as wide receiver ones. We know the Rams had a rough night, but let's start with Kupp.
19 targets.
I mean, he's the offense.
Cooper
Kupp.
Cooper Kupp, 19 targets. Debo, only 8 total touches, but he paid off for it.
Makes the most of
them. As you see it here on your screen, 19 targets for my little Cooper Kupp. Debo Samuel gets 7. 14 receptions for Kupp, 6 for Debo. Both of them go over the 100-yard mark. Of course, you get some rushing yards from Debo. Each of them north of 22 fantasy points, 26.2 for Cooper Kupp. My little Cooper Kupp and Debo finishes with 23.7. Stars being stars. We like to see that. It hasn't always been the case this year. Some players have not showed up. But, you know, Debo and my little Cooper Kupp saying, you know what? There's a reason fantasy managers believed in us. We're going to continue to perform no matter what, no matter how bad the quarterback play is on either side. That's the thing, is that both these quarterbacks did not play well last night, and yet still they produce week in, week out. There's nothing more to say about them other than they're locked in wide receiver ones. They're no-brainer starts no matter the matchup.
Yeah, the volume's insane. Cooper Kupp, 40% target share last night. It's just hilarious.
Stupid.
Debo, even when the volume's not insane, and last night it was very, very good. He makes the most of those touches. He could score in a lot of different ways. Fred Warner said, there's something about Debo against those Rams, just a heck of a player. And in big-time games, he always comes to play.
I saw somebody else say he's the anti-Allen Robinson.
Well, we're going to go there.
And right, and that person is me. That person is me right here. I just said that. He's the anti-Debo Debo Samuel.
Yeah, well, Sean McVay actually have a lot of insight on Robinson's issues after the game. So let's hear from Sean McVay.
Before we go to this sound real quickly, is Sean McVay aware that Allen Robinson is on the team?
It doesn't seem like it.
Let's hear from him. Let's see.
He had a lot to say.
I wonder if the answer is like, who's Allen Robinson? All right, let's hear what Sean McVay had to say after the game.
Sean, why has it been a struggle to spread the ball around and get Allen Robinson involved?
It's just been a struggle overall.
He does know that Allen Robinson is on the team because he didn't even want to individually address
the struggle overall. What does
Allen
that mean?
Robinson. Everything's bad. Everything's bad.
You got Cooper Kupp, 19 targets. Like, that ain't a struggle. You got Tyler Higbee, 14 targets. You got Ben Skoronek, 3 targets. I don't know. Darrell Henderson got 4. Allen Robinson did have 6 targets in this one. 2 receptions for 7 yards.
Total.
2 receptions for 7 yards total. That's not even a good play. Like, you know, like when you're like, okay, 7 yards, that's like a little out. like if you went through play by play, literally if you went play by play, I'm gonna do this real quickly. Cooper Kupp, I bet you, I'm not gonna bore us all with all this, but I literally bet if you went play by play, that Cooper Kupp out of the 14 receptions he had, I bet you almost all of them scored more fantasy points than 2 for 7.
I would agree with that.
Almost all of them scored more than 2.7 fantasy points. Like on one play, Cooper Kupp, better than Allen Robinson was all season long. Honestly, he's had 3 games with less than 5 fantasy points this season. 3 games with 2 or fewer receptions. He has 20 fantasy points in 2 of his last 20 games played. And yet he still ran a route on 98% of Matthew Stafford's dropbacks. 2 receptions for 7 yards. What are we doing?
Well, let's ask the hard question.
I believe it's 45. But how much? Right. Okay. So these are wide receivers with more fantasy points this season, right, than Allen Robinson, Jamal Agnew, Ashton Doolin, Richie James, Nico Collins, Mac Hollins. I mean, obviously Devin DuVernay, but like
mostly backups on this.
Jamal Agnew is the, you know, had the 2 touchdown game against Jacksonville, but like, he's the 4th string wide receiver. Ashton Doolin, you know?
Richie James has been a specialist his career.
Yeah, I mean,
a true special teams player.
I bet you, again, it'd be really interesting to see this, but Allen Robinson signed a deal this offseason for how much money, guys? Was it like
$30 million is guaranteed.
$30 million is guaranteed, but it was like 3 years, $45 million,
yeah,
something like
right
that?
Right around there.
$46.5 million, I'm being told in my ear. All right, so $46.5 million. I bet you anything that everyone that we just showed on the list, if you combine their salaries,
do not hit that.
Do not hit 46. I bet you there's definitely not $30 million guaranteed for all the guys on that list. So tomorrow is Yom Kippur. I won't be here on the show tomorrow because tomorrow is Yom Kippur. I am of Jewish faith, and it is the Jewish Day of Atonement. And so what you do, Connor, you're not Jewish, I don't believe, but so in essence, without getting into a whole religious discussion, that the idea of Yom Kippur and the Day of Atonement is that you take that one day to apologize to God and everyone for all of your sins over the past year. You take that time to reflect on everything and how you can be a better person, a better human, a better family man, et cetera, et cetera. And so it is the Jewish Day of Atonement. And so allow me, since I won't be here tomorrow, to turn to the audience. I'm going to turn to camera one right here, if we can take me there. Thank you, Sam. I'm just going to atone to America for recommending Allen Robinson in the preseason. That was bad. I atone. I apologize. I fall on my sword. Asked and answered. I was wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. Now, in fairness, I just wasted like a 4th-round pick on him, not $30 million guaranteed. So, like, I'm not the only one that needs to atone here, but I would like to just mea culpa. I apologize for anyone that listened to my advice and drafted Allen Robinson. I steered you wrong. That is on me, and I will reflect upon it tomorrow in Temple. I just, in all seriousness, like, I'm not trying to make light of Yom Kippur or anything like that, but just seriously, like, that might be my worst call of the year.
Worst pick in fantasy this year, him or Kyle Pitts?
I think Allen Robinson is a worse pick, and I will tell you why. They both went around the same. Like, Allen Robinson went somewhere between the 4th and 6th. Boy, it's a tough one. Kyle Pitts went in the 3rd. We've at least seen one good game from Kyle Pitts. Mm. I mean, Allen Robinson had, like, I think he had the one game where he scored a touchdown. The bar is lower for success in tight ends. On the other hand, Allen Robinson's more easily replaceable. You know what I mean? Like, okay, he stinks, but there's guys that are emerging. Like, you can overcome that bad pick easier. That's a great one. That's actually a great one. I don't know. I'm going to say Allen Robinson is worse just because I have more hope. Let me put it this way. I have more hope that Kyle Pitts turns it around than I do Allen Robinson.
Are you dropping him?
Yes.
Robinson? Oh, easy drop.
How?
Yeah.
I mean, like, he's wide receiver 73 on the season. There are 72 wide receivers better than Allen Robinson through 4 weeks of the season. Wide receiver 72. And by the way, my belief is Odell Beckham Jr. is coming back to this team
it
at some point.
It seems that way.
You know, I feel like within the next month-ish or so, I would argue within the next 4 to 5 weeks, Odell Beckham Jr. re-signs with the Rams, in which, yeah, Yes, welcome to Dumpsville, Allen Robinson. Again, that's on me, man.
All right, staying with the Rams, back to the tight end conversation. Tyler Higbee is now tight end 5 on the year in fantasy right now. He finished with over 17 points in week 4, second in targets for the Rams on Monday Night Football. Tyler Higbee, Barry, this looks sustainable. I mean, he's actually been a focal point of the offense, something we've expected for a while with Higbee, but now it looks sustainable.
Look, we know this is an offense that's going to pass, right? And this is a guy that is getting the second most targets on the team after my little Cooper Kupp. Here's an entire list. I'm going to get this, Connor. I'm going to give you a list. Here's the entire list of tight ends in the NFL that have 20 or more receptions and over 200 receiving yards so far this season through 4 weeks, right? Travis Kelce, you've heard of him.
Of course.
Mark Andrews.
Oh, yeah.
Tyler Higbee. That's the list. That's the list. My friend J.J. Zacharias, and I want to give him a shout-out. He said, Tyler Higbee is this year's Dalton Schultz. He tweeted that out, and I think he's right. You know what I mean? He's a guy that, it's all short stuff. There you go. You see it there on your screen. Tyler Higbee is becoming 2022 Dalton Schultz. Shout-out to J.J. there. He's also becoming kind of the guy we thought he was going to be last year after his breakout in 2020. In 2022, he's becoming a thing. Now, the average depth of target is really short. I mean, it's like it's all short stuff, but whatever. The volume is there, and given how desolate tight end is, Higbee is absolutely legit, a top 5 fantasy tight end for the season. I think that's legit. I think he's a top 5 the rest of the way. He is number 5 so far this week 4, he was the 4th best tight end in fantasy with 17.3 fantasy points. Still out there in 17% of Yahoo League. So worth seeing somehow if he is still available in yours. But the question is he legit? Yes. And then the next question is, would I rather have him than the tight end he faced, George Kittle? Yeah. I'd rather, as bad as Matthew Stafford looked yesterday, I'd still rather have the guy that I'd rather him throwing to my tight end than Jimmy Garoppolo. I just don't think the volume is going to be there for George Kittle, who's played only 2 games this season and has less than 7 fantasy points. Whatever, 4 targets here, against the Rams, 5 targets against the, almost had the touchdown, couldn't get the second foot in, and maybe the narrative is different if he comes down with that, but there is sustained production in Higbee, and I think Kittle's going to have 3 monster games this season, and that's it.
And with Kittle, don't you expect him to be more than just a touchdown-dependent guy? That's the concern here, right?
Right, but because of the success of Deebo Samuel, because they've had success running the ball, there is a connection between Garoppolo and Ayuk to an extent. I mean, 4 targets for Ayuk, 4 targets for Kittle. In a game in which the Niners more or less move the ball decently, I think that, yes, Kittle's still a low-end tight end 1, but if you're asking me Higbee or Kittle the rest of the season, and I know you're not, but I'm asking to myself, I'm going to say Tyler Higbee. Very disappointing start of the season of George Kittle, and I don't see anything in that offense that makes me think things are going to change. Again, from this point forward, there will be 3 weeks where he just has a monster game where he's 7 for 100 and a touchdown or 2. But knowing when those games come, plus he's always an injury risk.
That's the other thing.
You probably don't have a better option other than just trying to roll him out there. But the first big game you get from George Kittle, I'm trying to move him.
All right.
And if you can still get something, if somebody thinks they're, quote, buying low on him and you're still getting decent value for Kittle, I wouldn't mind moving on from him there either.
And we will talk waiver wire tight ends later in this show. Some of the guys that could replace him if you're in that situation. But another guy that is just not even coming close to expectations right now is Matthew Stafford. He is QB 28 on the season in fantasy. He finished in week 4 as QB 28, only 6.8 fantasy points. Things are not going well for the Rams offense right now outside of Cooper Kupp, and that includes Stafford, where the biggest thing is they can't get the ball in the end zone, and he's running for his life on half the plays, it looks like.
Yeah, look, I mean, that's part of the problem, right? And I think there's a bunch of different reasons for that, but you think about last year when he was averaging over 9 yards per attempt, this year just 6.77 yards per attempt. Part of it is having to getting ball quicker. Part of it is they don't have Odell Beckham Jr. They don't have that. They don't have Van Jefferson out there these days, so they don't have those field stretchers. Apparently Allen Robinson was just hired to run wind sprints. So, as we've talked about, it's the running backs. It's the short stuff with Cooper Kupp. It's the short stuff with Tyler Higbee. So there's not really they're not really taking those deep throws, and the turnovers are killing you. Through 4 weeks, no quarterback has more interceptions than Matthew Stafford. Remember, last year he tied for the most interceptions in the NFL. And the problem with Stafford is he doesn't run, right? I mean, like, in terms of when you're thinking fantasy, to have a quarterback that isn't a dual threat the way Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, yeah. those guys, when you have a quarterback that isn't a dual threat like those guys, or even somebody that can get you a handful of yards like Justin Herbert, you need somebody to have massive touchdown passing equity. And Stafford did have that last year where he threw for over 40 touchdowns. He had a massive year touchdown-wise. And as you mentioned, they can't get into the end zone, right? I mean, he's got four touchdown passes through four games, as you see it there on your screen for those of you watching on Peacock. 10 fantasy points or less in three out of the four games this year. He had the one good game against the Falcons, but even that game, a home game against Atlanta, in which he had 10 days to prepare, because that was after the Thursday night game against the Bills. He had 10 days to prepare for a home game against the Falcons, and even in that game, three touchdowns but two interceptions. He finished with just 20.8 fantasy points. Like, that should be a bigger number at home against the Falcons with 10 days to prepare, and it wasn't. And that's his best game of the year. I don't think Matthew Stafford is a viable QB1 anymore. I'm not dropping him. But yes, like, this is going to sound insane, but at least for right now, until we see some consistency out of Matthew Stafford, give me Jared Goff rest of the season over Matthew Stafford.
Funny how that works.
All right? I mean, again, like, I get it. Like, real-life quarterback play is different than NFL, sure. than fantasy quarterback play. I mean, there's a lot of junk time with Jared Goff, but, like, nothing about Jared Goff's production strikes me as unsustainable. It's a good offensive line with good weapons, and they're going to have to be throwing a ton because their defense is so brutal.
And he was productive without most of those weapons this week. So even if you're worried about the injuries, it's still working.
Yeah, I mean, they have a better schedule than the Rams. The Rams have a first-place schedule this year, right? And the Lions have a last-place schedule.
Yes.
So, I mean, it changes year to year, but I'm merely saying that if you went into the season with only one quarterback and you thought, I got it. I'm good. Matthew Stafford was a top five fantasy quarterback last year. Rams going to be great. McVay, blah, 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 blah. I think you need to rethink that. Again, he's quarterback 28 so far this season. He's quarterback 28. There's only 32 in the NFL.
It's abysmal.
You know, I did that math in my head.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, he's bottom five.
Anything?
Through 4 weeks, he's bottom five in the NFL.
Yeah, it's not looking good right now for Matthew Stafford.
It is not.
All right, let's close the book on Monday Night Football and get into a ton of the waiver wire with the running backs specifically.
Yes,
and we will get into every position group today. But starting with the running backs on the waiver wire, we got Thursday Night Football. And boy, if Jonathan Taylor can't go, is it the Nyheim Hines show right now? Available in 38% of Yahoo leagues. He is only RB41 on the season, averaging a little bit over 7 points per game. They got Denver on deck. The targets, I don't think, have been what we were hoping for consistently in the past game. But can Hines step into that role if Taylor can't go?
No.
Right? He's just not built that way. It's not
yeah,
that
I mean,
kind of
like,
runner.
They'll activate Phillip Lindsay. I think they actually did this morning off of the practice squad. I think you'll see a committee here. The fact of the matter is Jonathan Taylor hasn't been Jonathan Taylor. Like, the offensive line has really struggled this week. We talked about this. So far through 4 weeks, Jonathan Taylor, capital letters, consensus number one pick overall, Jonathan Taylor, has not been a top 20 fantasy running back through the first 4 weeks. So now you're asking Nyheim Hines, who's obviously built very differently, to go on the road on a short week at Denver and be that guy? I don't think he is. Do I think Nyheim Hines will be usable in fantasy this week? I do. Because I think that's what's going to have to happen against Denver. I think you're going to have to, like, do some dump-off passes there. He does have five or more targets in three out of four games so far this season in his career. In games in which he's gotten double-digit touches, and my expectation is he will get double-digit touches on Thursday night, he's averaging 14.5 fantasy points per game. So do I think Nyheim Hines is usable this week? I do. Do I think he replaces Jonathan Taylor? I don't. And if I'm going to the waiver wire this week, I think he's usable. I think he's probably the most obvious guy for this week. You know what I mean? Nyheim Hines, in terms of, like, hey, I need somebody for this week. Him or possibly Tyler Algier, who we'll talk about in a second. But, but I think there are other guys that have more upside long term. Also, doesn't sound like Taylor's injury is all that serious.
Yeah, the tests on the ankle were negative. He, as we sit here and do this show, he could still play Thursday night.
Right.
Which makes
it
even more complicated.
So I would not, if I've been holding on to, depending on how you run your waivers in your league, like, I would not, if you've been holding on to the number one waiver spot, I'm not blowing it for Nyheim Hines. I wouldn't go crazy with my fab budget as well. So, but do I think he Do I think he gets an expanded role on Thursday night, even if Taylor plays, because if the ankle's not 100%, I do. It's a tough matchup on the road at Denver. So I think Nyheim Hines will be usable this week in fantasy. That's about as far as I'm willing to go, Connor. By the way, he does not care about your fantasy team.
No.
He does not.
He made tweeted, sure to let you know.
He tweeted that out. When will people learn we don't care about your fantasy team's laughing emoji? And I will say this to Nyheim Hines. He is 100% right. NFL players should never care about fantasy teams. What Nyheim Hines should worry about is the fact that his team is 0-2-1 in the division. He should focus on that.
Yeah,
that's what he should focus on.
More.
Don't worry about our fantasy teams, Nyheim. Worry about the fact that you guys missed the playoffs last year and you're 0-2-1 in the division.
One player they might have to worry about on Thursday night, Mike Boone, available in 98% of leagues.
Yeah, Boone's Farm, baby.
Yeah, unfortunately, Javonte Williams.
Have you ever drank Boone's Farm?
No.
Boone's Farm, like, I'm an older guy, so I'm older than you. So Boone's Farm was one of those, like, super cheap. I don't even know if it even exists anymore. But someone looked that up. Does Boone's, Blake, I'm getting research on this. Does Boone's Farm still exist? But it was, like, super cheap. Like, when you were, like, college, when I was in college, and, like, you just, like, you had no money, and you're, like, you're just trying to, you
know, get drunk for $5.
Oh, yeah. Boone's Farm was, like, yeah, exactly. You know, Boone's Farm was one of those,
When we get off, I'm going to do some digging and see what we could find. And Boone's Farm is still alive and well.
Listen. I'm not saying it was good, but it did the job. You understand? Like, if you're I want to get drunk and I don't have a lot of money to spend, Boone's Farm was your ticket. Have we gotten any research? Does it still exist?
Boone's Farm is alive and well.
Boone's Farm is $3 a bottle. In today's prices, that's Boone's Farm, we're still looking for sponsors here at the Fantasy Bowl.
Boone's Farm tap.
Boone's Farm, I'm just telling you. By the way, we'd do one Boone's Farm in segment one and we'd be loaded by segment two. It'd be fantastic.
All right, Boone's Farm, Mike Boone, available in 98% of leagues. When he came in after Javonte Williams got hurt, he had 65% of the snaps compared to Melvin Gordon, who had 35% of the snaps. He was in on 6 of 7 third and fourth down situations. Do you buy in that there might be some pass game opportunity when you see that with him? And when you look at Boone, is he one of the top guys on the waiver this week? We know they will never give up on Melvin Gordon. We know
that. That's the problem. Hackett absolutely loves him. They trust Melvin Gordon more in pass protection. They're unfortunately going to have to live with the fumbles, and they're going to hope he cleans that up. Now, the Broncos have signed Latavius Murray off of the Saints practice squad. Again, it's a Thursday night game. The expectation here is that Murray will not be active in time for Thursday night. Like, he's just going to get there. Still needs to learn a few plays. So on Thursday night, it is going to be Melvin Gordon. It's going to be Mike Boone. Maybe you'll see a little bit of Divine Ozigbo, you know, formerly of Jacksonville. Yeah. He's now on the Broncos as well. So you see him mixed in there as well. But the fact is that after Javonte Williams went down, Mike Boone played 65% of the snaps. He's had three career games with 12 or more touches. He's averaging 15.3 fantasy points per game. I think had they not signed Latavius Murray, I'd have been like, yeah, let's go all in. Like, you know, let's go farming on Boone's Farm, right? Drink up.
Bargain drinking.
Bargain drinking on Boone's Farm. But the concern here is Latavius Murray, and I'm worried that this might be a little bit of a three-headed monster. Again, I think Mike Boone is going to be and I'll have him ranked higher than Nyheim Hines just for Thursday night. For week five, I will prefer Boone to Nyheim Hines because I think there's a better chance at a touchdown for Boone. I think it'll be a near even split, 1A and 1B, to him and Melvin Gordon in a decent matchup with the Colts at home against the Colts. But I'm nervous about Latavius Murray coming in and stealing some touches from Boone. This could be a three-headed monster on an offense that, candidly, Connor, still hasn't found itself.
I think that's
scoring
the
big a ton
issue.
Of points.
Yes. Well, Javonte is a special player.
Correct.
And can overcome the deficiencies of that offense. This isn't a plug-and-play offense that, hey, Mike Boone's next guy up, run and get him and expect the same production.
No, 100%. I mean, what's interesting, though, is that I think Boone's more of a pass. I mean, Melvin Gordon's a decent pass catcher, but, you know, Boone also plays some on third downs as well. And so there's now a decent amount of target share that's available with Javonte Williams. Again, we talked about this at the end of last show, but if you missed that, case the news, it was confirmed. Torn ACL for Javonte Williams. His season is over, so prayers on a speedy recovery for Javonte Williams. But there's more targets now to go around. I'm nervous about Russell Wilson here. It feels like, and I know Judy, you know, had a better game last week than he did, but honestly, the only guy that I feel super confident in starting in the Broncos offense right now is Cortland Sutton. And I think the running backs are both flex, you know, sort of hope for a touchdown flexes in Gordon and Boone, very close together in that order. Deeper leagues, take a flyer on Latavius Murray. You're not going to use him this week, but if you're looking for somebody this week, I mean, both Boone and Latavius Murray have more value today than they did 48 hours ago.
This next one surprised me. Raheem Mostert available in half of all leagues right now. Plays in a great offense. We understand that Tua is going to be out for a little bit, but Teddy comes in, one of the more reliable backups in the league. Raheem Mostert, once again, available in half of leagues. He is RB 46 on the year, but he wasn't a factor week one at all. So take that with a grain of salt right now as you see the game log there.
But as you look on your screen, right, offensive snap percentage, week one, 42%. Then 55%, 56%, 72%. Again, this is a guy who had a major injury in week one of last year. Getting healthier, getting more familiar with the system in Miami. Obviously, some familiarity with it because he played for Mike McDaniel in San Francisco. But
it's
still
different
going
O-line.
On.
Yeah.
But again, getting healthier, getting more confident. You know, they're seeing that explosiveness come back for Raheem Mostert. He's had 14 or more touches in two of the last three games here.
That jumps out to me.
And the other two things that I think are really interesting is that in week four, 73% of the running back snaps, that was, again, a game that, you know, the Dolphins were, you know, that was a game that they were really in on, you know, with Cincinnati, right? And even though they were down, like, they were, you know, it was close and then they were down. And so with Bridgewater under center, and that's what's going to happen again this Sunday. The news came out, Tua Tagovailoa is going to miss this Sunday's game against the New York Jets. Raheem Mostert, 7 of 11 on third and fourth down on those snaps. He played 7 of the 11 third and fourth down snaps. And he had 3 of the 5 snaps inside the 10. So he is on the right side of a committee for one of the better offenses in the NFL. And knowing that they're going from Tua Tagovailoa to Teddy Bridgewater, we don't know how long Bridgewater's going to have the gig. But, you know, check down Teddy a little bit. Like, regardless of even if they open it up a little bit, you know, because whatever, Bridgewater took some shots on Thursday night. But still, it's going to be a more conservative offense with Bridgewater than it was with Tua. And so is there more emphasis on the run game and getting those guys involved, more short passing as well? And so Raheem Mostert is available, as you mentioned, 50% of Yahoo leagues. If I'm looking rest of the season and he's out there in my league, give me Mostert over the Mike Boone and, Nyheim Hineses of the world, or even Latavius Murray's. Like, I think he's the number one running back pickup for the rest of the week, rest of the season, I should say, if he's available in your league.
Sure, he's not injury dependent. That's another great thing about Mostert. And the upcoming schedule, at the Jets, against the Vikings, against the Steelers, and then at Detroit.
Yeah.
So a good spot for Raheem Mostert in the next four. Let's move to Rashad White with the Bucs. We talked about this yesterday, that Lenny, always dealing with something, feels like this is the time where Rashad White can get involved a little bit. Byron Leftwich said exactly that. It's time to get him more involved. Season high, 8 touches in week 4. He did have the touchdown. Available in 73% of leagues.
5 catches for 50 yards. I mean, so they've been using him some on third down. And if you watch that game against the Chiefs, which was right here on NBC and Peacock, of course, I'm a company man. You know, we always have the best games every week.
That's a fact.
That's indisputable.
There's no arguing that.
No, there's no
arguing.
You
watch football, you know that.
You obviously know that. Like, there's really, if you've learned only two things from today's show, it's that, you know, the best game of the week is always on Sunday night on NBC and Peacock, and you can get a bottle of Boone's Farm for $3. Like, I mean, like, what?
And it still exists.
It still exists. That's what we do here. We drop knowledge. All right, so Rashad White's talented. They like him a lot in Tampa Bay. And so my point was, if you watch that game, like, Rashad White, not only do you mention about the 8 touches, but those were meaningful touches. That wasn't just in the blowout. Like, he was out there with Brady. He's been out there with Brady. His snaps have increased. Like, they're using him more and more. He's earning Tom's trust. And so that's a huge thing. It's still Leonard Fournette's show. So I don't know that Rashad White is usable yet. Like, in a week in which Fournette is healthy, I can't see Rashad White as a flex. So if you need a guy for this week, you know, you're better off with the Boones or the Hines of the world. But I do think if you're just trying to look, hey, I'm looking for upside, for long-term upside, I think Rashad White needs to be rostered in 100% of leagues, because Leonard Fournette is rostered in 100% of leagues. And we'd expect that if anything were to happen to Leonard Fournette, who has dealt with injuries in his past, Rashad White would get the majority of the work and be productive on one of the better offenses in the NFL. So, I given how brutal the running back position is, I've always been a big believer in insurance backs for your high-end guys when you know specifically who it would be. Again, like, with Jonathan Taylor, I think you'll see some Hines, you'll see some Deion Jackson, see some Phil Lindsay.
It's a bad offense, right?
It's a bad offense, right? But here, the Buccaneers are a better offense, especially with all their pass catchers back now. And yes, it would be Rashad White if anything happened to Uncle Lenny.
Looking at one of the biggest rushing performances of the week, the Falcons. It was a combined effort from Tyler Algier, rookie running back available in 83% of leagues. Caleb Huntley available in essentially every single league. The big news here, Barry, for me, Cordarrelle Patterson on the IR with a knee injury. There's going to be a couple weeks where these guys are significantly involved with a team that does not want Marcus Mariota to throw the football.
They do not. They've run the ball effectively.
Yes.
Now, they're at Tampa Bay this week, which you wouldn't love that matchup generally, but the Chiefs just ran all over them. So maybe there is some success there. Atlanta has had more success running the ball, I think, than people thought. Even though Mariota has struggled in the passing game, just the fact that he has that mobility Mariota does, they have to keep a spy on him when you're playing defensively against the Falcons, which opens up running lanes. We've seen it for Patterson. He goes on IR. He's going to be out for at least the next 4 weeks. Damian Williams not eligible to return until next week, week six. So that means at least for this week, it's going to be the Tyler Algier and Caleb Huntley show. For me, I rank them that way, Algier and Huntley. Clearly, both guys are going to be involved. But after Cordarrelle Patterson went down, Algier led the team in snaps after CPAT went down. He's had double-digit carries in two of the last three games here. Huntley, by the way, but what, 10 for 56, had
a
touchdown. He got the, you know, he only played 12 total snaps.
10
he got 10 carries on those toes. So when he's out there, they like him. But what that tells me is when he only got 12 snaps, but he's carrying on 10 of those 12 snaps, they don't trust him in any other facet of the game, which means more playing time for Algier, more chances for checkdowns from Mariota. So again, if I'm ranking those Falcons running backs, Algier over Caleb Huntley. And I think both guys are somewhat of priorities on the waiver wire, again, because for 4 weeks, no Cordarrelle Patterson, who's been very productive. I don't think these guys are Cordarrelle Patterson, but I do think there's value there in that Falcons run game. It is worth noting, though, at Tampa Bay, home to the Niners, at Cincinnati, home to Carolina. So it's not a great stretch there defensively. Carolina's played better defense than they get credit for. Same with the Bengals. But you don't love the matchups with Tampa Bay and San Francisco. All that said, they've been running effectively on some tough defenses. They ran on the Rams, et cetera, et cetera.
Great point about the snap usage. Algier was one of the best pass-protecting running backs in the entire draft last year. So I think they have full confidence to get him on the field a lot. It's just a matter of if this offense can be effective against those teams.
Right, and if they want to pass.
Yes.
You don't need to pass pro if you never pass.
Seven completions
last
week.
Just saying.
For Mariota, bit of an issue. All right, let's get through a couple more before we go to break here. The Saints running back Mark Ingram available in 83% of leagues. Seattle on deck. Everybody's going to love when they see Seattle on the schedule.
Yeah.
How much are you buying into that, Ingram, for at least a week?
Yeah, especially because, by the way, Latavius Murray, who filled in last week in London, now is a member of the Denver Broncos. They activated him off the practice squad for the London game against the Vikings. He goes back to the practice squad. Denver takes advantage of that, takes Latavius Murray away from the Saints. So I think the hope here is that Alvin Kamara is back for this game. But certainly Mark Ingram, you know, he had some bad luck against the Vikings, right? He was going well, but then he got a little bit banged up. So Latavius Murray comes in, vultures the touchdown there as Ingram's in the medical tent looking. And then towards the end, then again, stupid Taysom Hill.
Boy, is he a thorn.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's not Taysom Hill's fault, but it's one of the more frustrating players in fantasy football, Taysom Hill. But still, Mark Ingram, 13 touches, 43 yards. He led the team in snaps despite being off the field a little bit for the injury. And so with Kamara still dealing with the ribs, Ingram is somebody that should be on the waiver wire radar, especially if you have Kamara.
We know the Clyde Edwards-Helaire show has officially taken off, but Isaiah Pacheco quietly with 11-plus carries in two of his four games this year. Barry, do you think they need to be in blowout mode for him to be effective at all, or is there some reason to at least stash him?
Yeah, I don't mind stashing him again, but given what Clyde Edwards-Helaire did, and they like Jerick McKinnon. I know McKinnon didn't play a lot in the passing. Didn't need him last week because they were just blowing the Buccaneers out.
Yep.
But I like Pacheco. Runs angry.
Yes.
Runs hard.
5 yards a carry.
He runs like he's got Allen Robinson on his fantasy team. like just, you know, just mean and angry. You know what I mean? Like he's upset. That's how he runs. And so I got to be honest with you. I thought I was going to get a better reaction from that joke.
I'm sorry.
I mean, it's all right. It's fine. No, no. I don't want a fake laugher. I want to earn him. I want to earn him. It's fine.
I'm also in time cop mode.
Yeah, so I understand. That's we got to get to break.
Yes.
Real quickly. I don't think Pacheco has a role that you can use him in fantasy, especially given CEH's success last Sunday night. But I do think he is somebody. They like him there. His role is increasing. And anytime you can get a piece of the Kansas City offense, especially given Edwards-Helaire has dealt with injuries in his past, Pacheco is an interesting stash. Two other guys real quickly. Gus Edwards.
The Gus bus.
The Gus bus, by the way. He is designated to return off the physically unable to perform list on Monday. They have 21 days, the Ravens do, to put him onto the active roster as of this taping and filming, whatever, broadcast. They haven't done that yet. But Justice Hill did lead the game with a hamstring injury. We saw some success from J.K. Dobbins. We know they like Gus Edwards. So that's another guy to stash. In the deeper leagues, just want to point this out, my Commanders, who can't do anything, but great story, just real life-wise, we're thrilled. Brian Robinson, after, you know, who knew if that guy was ever going to play football again?
Yeah.
After this horrific...
Quick return.
You know, quick return. He's being activated as well. We'll see how it shakes out with the Commanders, but he was the guy that was supposed to be the starter in the preseason until that shooting accident. Not accident. Until the incidents feel so insignificant.
Yes.
Awful thing that happened to Brian Robinson. After that awful thing that happened to Brian Robinson, we're thrilled that he's alive, and the fact that he's come back is just a medical miracle. So we're thrilled that Brian Robinson is back in the NFL and back active for the Commanders. And so we'll see how that shakes out. But talented running back, and obviously he's going to be a part of their offense sooner rather than later.
We know how high they were on him over the summer. He's a true in-between-the-tackles runner for them that if he's good to go, they're going to fire him up. All right, we are going to go to break. When we are back, we are talking wide receivers on the waiver wire going into Week 5.
The Jets were the other team that was kind of buying to trade for you. How close was that to happening this past offseason?
You know what? It was very close to happening, man. But it's just those state taxes, man. You know, I realized, you know, I had to make a grown-up decision. And, you know, here I am in the great city of Miami. You know, great weather, great people. We're beautiful people, I feel like. So, here I am.
Okay. So,
I lived in the Northeast my whole life, so I can't relate.
Yeah, 100%.
State taxes.
By the way, I feel like Tyreek Hill. All right. Here I like the shrug. I don't know what to tell you. Here I am.
Yeah.
That's what... Same.
Grown-up decision.
Same, Tyreek. Here I am. I'm in Stanford, Connecticut.
Made a grown-up decision.
I did make a grown-up. He made a grown-up decision. I made a grown-up decision.
You guys...
I could have stayed at ESPN. They
well,
made
look
me
you.
An offer. They begged me to stay. I was just like,
let them know.
No. I wanted to spread my wings like a proud peacock.
That's right.
There you go.
Can we do it again? All right. That had a little anger in it.
Yeah.
All right, we got a lot of wide receivers to get through today.
Not just a proud peacock, but an angry peacock.
A couple notable injuries.
Not angry at ESPN. Don't. Everyone always twists everything. No, no. Still love ESPN. Still love ESPN.
You know what I did?
I renewed. No, hang on. Last night, I renewed my Disney Plus bundle. You know, because it ran out. Because I had it as a Disney employee. I got it. Whatever. I got it for free.
So you had to pony up.
I had to pony up.
And you did.
By the way, I did. It's a great. I made a grown up decision. You know what? Like, by the way, I enjoy Disney Plus. I enjoy content on ESPN Plus. I enjoy Hulu. You know what I mean? Like, it's
man of many streams.
Right. By the way, I already was paying for a Peacock subscription, so that doesn't. I get that for free, but I got 6 months till that expires. But whatever. It's fine. Anyway. My point is like, yeah, no animosity towards my former employers, but happy to be here at NBC.
All right, wide receivers, what do you say?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, a couple notable injuries off the top. Treylon Burks will miss some time with turf toe. Rashad Bateman is day-to-day with a foot injury, and Berry's Jahan Dotson could be out a week or two, in quotes, with a hamstring injury. So
yeah.
Some very minor stuff across the board for
these
three
stuff,
young
guys. Minor stuff, but I mean,
guys.
Just I think real quickly, like, I don't – maybe Robert Woods – in Indianapolis, in Tennessee, we'll see. He caught the touchdown last week, so
not much there.
There isn't much there, and feels like that offense is finally starting to get together. Worth noting, they play the Commanders this week. If ever there was a get right game for an offense, it's facing the Commanders' defense. And I'm using air quotes for those listening at home to use the word defense over the Commanders. Bateman, I keep – Devin Duvernay is like the Clyde Edwards-Helaire of wide receivers. Like, I keep saying, well, this production can't keep up. This production can't keep up. Well, this is a fluke.
And it's October.
I mean, we're 4 weeks in, right? You know, and like –
it's going to be Halloween.
I mean, he keeps producing Devin Duvernay. So, I mean, you know, it feels like he would be the beneficiary there. And Jahan Dotson, I can't imagine there's anyone in the Commanders. Feels like maybe you'd see some more Dyami Brown. But, like, really that offense is going to be – it's going to be McLaurin. It's going to be Curtis Samuel. It's going to be Logan Thomas. It's going to be the running backs.
And we talked yesterday how McLaurin's target share has been lower than usual. So maybe that simply comes back to the norm.
Here's hoping.
All right, looking at the waiver wire, starting with Michael Gallup available somehow in 59% of Yahoo leagues. I don't understand
that. We've been talking him up for a little while. You saw what happened. Like, first game back, boom. I mean, first game back, you know, played 64% of snaps. He drew 65 yards of penalties. I mean, you know, my Commanders couldn't keep up with him. He also scores the touchdown.
Most important part.
Right? He's had at least one end zone target at 7 of his last 2 games, whether it's Cooper Rush or Dak Prescott under center. And as of this morning, it feels like it's going to be at least – it's going to be Cooper Rush for at least one more week. Dak Prescott still having trouble gripping the ball. That's what that was for people seeing on air. That was me gripping a football. Let me be clear about that. You know, and Jerry Jones saying about Prescott, the quarterback's grip on the ball is, quote, not well enough to play at the moment. We've still got a long way to go until the Rams game on Sunday, but you're 3-0 with Cooper Rush. Why are you going to risk it with your franchise guy? Michael Gallup plays the Rams, the Eagles, home to Detroit, home to Chicago.
Like that back-to-back.
So, yeah, you don't love the next 2 weeks. Those are tough matchups. But still, Michael Gallup is a really good player. And this is an offense that is, whoever the quarterback is moving the ball. He's my number one pickup this week at the wide receiver position. Longer term, he's kind of 1A and 1A, 1 to 1A with the next guy. Those guys are right there next to each other.
Looking over in Pittsburgh, Kenny Pickett starts the second half. The Pickens party gets unleashed. George Pickens available in 61% of leagues. He caught all 4 targets from Kenny Pickett for 71 yards. He had a 30% target share in this game.
That's what's important here. Once Kenny Pickett came into the game,
looked his way.
You see it there on your screen, a 30% target share for George Pickens. He went 4 for 71. He caught all 4 of the targets. Pat Freiermuth also got a 30% target share. What goes 3 for 36. Deontay Johnson does 15% target share. Goes 2 for 11. Chase Claypool 7.6%. Understanding that the offense still runs through Deontay Johnson. And if you watch some of the – if you go back and watch the picks for Kenny Pickett, like, you know, I mean, like, one of them was a drop. One of them was
– Hail Mary. The ball,
one of them was a Hail Mary. One of them was a deep ball that, again, Claypool got his hands on and, yep, and should have been caught or you know, and the other one was just, you know, just kind of a tip ball.
Yeah.
So I think if you go back and watch the tape, Pickett played better than maybe the stats suggest. And it's interesting, after the game, Mike Tomlin was saying, like, I'm not ready to go there yet. And we were all like – oh, well, we are. Like, it's going to be Kenny Pickett. Stop
yes.
it. And what do you know? The news comes out yesterday after we did the show. In fact, Kenny Pickett will start this week at the New York They play. Oh, they don't play
the Bills.
At the Bills. Sorry, they played
New
the
York.
Jets last week.
The New York Bills.
The New York Bills.
they are,
by the way, Bills, yeah. Bills are double-digit touchdown favorites. They're 14-point favorites, courtesy of our friends at BetMGM. So, means a lot of throwing. George Pickens, we talked about him yesterday, Connor, insanely talented.
Yeah. And Pickett, there was just a reliability there. Pickett dropped back and would throw him the back shoulder ball before Pickens was even expecting any. There was a trust there. You could tell they worked together a lot over the summer. It's a big boost for Pickens in my eyes. Okay, moving
over. Very excited. Anyway, Pickens, Gallup, I put Gallup over Pickens just because we have a lot, you know.
He's done
it. We feel better about the Cowboys offense than we do with than the Steelers with a rookie quarterback. And Gallup's done it. We just have we think there's upside with Pickens, but we just haven't seen it yet. But, I mean, it's coming. George Pickens is coming. Like that. So it's like it's literally 1 to 1A. I think both guys have a lot of potential. And those would be my priorities on the waiver wire this week.
Also a potential great keeper situation with George Pickens.
Yeah, I can't imagine he's available in any keeper league, but if somehow he, like, if you're in one of those leagues that you can keep guys that you pick up as free agents,
yes,
like, it's not a true dynasty league, it's just
yes,
you can keep 3 or 4 guys, yet Pickens 100% on that one.
In Jacksonville, Zay Jones surprised inactive in week 4 after he was expected to play with the ankle injury, available in 71% of leagues. He is wide receiver 43 on the season, even with missing week 4. So that goes to show you how good Zay Jones has been. That's a big number, available in 71% of leagues. Jamal Agnew stepped in and performed.
The Jaguars are for real.
Yes,
the Jaguars
throw.
Are for real, and more importantly, that offense is for real. Again, we've talked about this all the time, but Doug Peterson, former NFL quarterback, comes from the Andy Reid school. We saw it at Philadelphia. He wants to pass. It's going to be a pass-heavy team. Even with a good defense, he's still going to be pass-heavy. And so Christian Kirk in the slot, but Zay Jones is their priority on the perimeter as well. Zay Jones over Marvin Jones, if you're picking a Jones there in Jacksonville. 22.5 target share so far this season. Two of the last three games, he's gotten 9 targets. Again, he didn't play in week 4, but 9 or more targets in 2 of the 3 games that he has played this year. Look at their upcoming schedule. Home to Houston this week, then at Indy, home to the Giants, home to Denver. Zay Jones is a thing, man. And they like he didn't get the deal that Christian Kirk got, but he got a real deal. He got an actual, he got a nice contract from Jacksonville. I'm a Zay Jones believer.
The powerhouse Detroit offense rolled on, and Josh Reynolds was a huge part of that with the Sun God and DJ Chark both missing week 4. Reynolds is available in 80% of leagues. Barry, the last 2 games for Reynolds, 18 targets, 13 catches, 177 yards, and the touchdown. Huge, huge production for Josh Reynolds.
Yeah, and again, all that production has come without Amon-Ra St. Brown either healthy or on the field, right? So the a lot of the production that it came in week 3 was after Amon-Ra St. Brown hurt his ankle, right? I mean, you sit here and see it on your screen. He's been playing over 70% of the snaps every single game this year, but weeks 1 and 2, 3 targets, 3 targets. Week 3, 10 targets. Week 4, 8 targets. 6 and 7 receptions each of the last 2 weeks. North of 80 yards in each of the last 2 weeks. So, honestly, this one is a little bit more Amon-Ra St. Brown health dependent. We'll also see if DJ Chark comes back. Remember, after this week, so they play the Patriots this week. Then I think then it's a bye. Then they play the Dallas Cowboys, if I have that right. I think, they're back. The Dallas is week 7, I believe. So, anyway, just, you know what I mean? Like, if Amon-Ra St. Brown is out, I would like Josh Reynolds once again at the Patriots. We'll see how the health goes there.
Feels like it's becoming a Josh Palmer situation with Josh Reynolds. When a starter doesn't play, you can get him in.
I think that's a great call.
This next one.
Although it didn't work out for Josh Palmer this past week, but
that's
in theory,
true.
Normally.
In theory, typically.
Right. Yeah.
All right, this next one, Rondale Moore, available in 82% of leagues. This one, to me, Barry, is more about the fact that the human torch just fell off a cliff when Rondale Moore returns. I don't know if either are going to be fantasy viable going forward. Rondale Moore, only 3.7 fantasy points. He did play in 86% of snaps. Is he worth giving a look?
I think so.
Okay, you're in.
I am on him. Again, as you mentioned, we've seen this role in that offense with Greg Dortch be productive. The Cardinals' defense is bad. They're going to have to throw. They're going to have to find ways. A.J. Green didn't play in this game. You know, Marquise Brown is clearly the number one there, and they're using some Zach Ertz quite a bit as well. But I think the talent of Rondale Moore, who they were excited about in the offseason, first came back healthy. I think there's more upside with Rondale Moore than Josh Reynolds. Josh Reynolds is much more of a smart, a this week only kind of thing. I think long-term season, if you're looking for just more depth and Gallup and Pickens are gone or not available, and same with Zay Jones, I do like the upside of Rondale Moore.
Last one here, Alec Pierce quietly, very quietly, 60 yards in both games since returning from concussion, available in almost all leagues at 95%. A lot of promise over the summer about the rookie. Had a tough start to the year with the injury. I know we don't like this offense. Is there any kind of look here with Pierce?
Yeah,
desperation?
I mean, this is a guy that a lot of people like coming out of the draft as well, out of Cincinnati. And so they're going to have to find production from somewhere. Yes, that offense is broken, but it can't all be Michael Pittman. So I don't mind Pierce. By the way, also keep an eye on what's going on in Buffalo. Just want to mention Khalil Shakir, who had a nice preseason and had a couple of nice plays in that game against Baltimore. Let's be, look. Jameson Crowder broke his ankle, by the way. He's going to be out indefinitely. Just want to be clear about that. Isaiah McKenzie, obviously, in the concussion protocol. We don't know if he's going to be available on Sunday. So Khalil Shakir might have a role here against the Steelers. If you're looking for people to drop, Elijah Moore, Allen Robinson, Julio Jones. We'll be back right after this.
Let me show y'all how to do this. Wow. Geno Smith.
Oh, no.
There you go.
333 yards. 33 rushing yards. He'll be a top 3 QB. That's how you go bold. The Seahawks will lose, but they will cover. That's how you go big and go bold. That's how you go home.
All right, I like that.
Michael Smith with the crystal ball,
dude,
on Sunday.
From way downtown.
You need any more reasons to watch?
Just drained a Steph Curry-like three from way downtown. Nice job, Michael Smith. My bold prediction was top 20 wide receiver Josh Reynolds, which ended up working out, but not as bold as Michael's call. His call, much better. Props to Michael Smith.
The Sunday pregame show on the money. Let's stick right there with Geno Smith.
11 a.m. to 1 o'clock right here on Peacock every Sunday morning.
Geno Smith, a top 10 quarterback in fantasy through 4 weeks of the season right now. He comes in at QB9, coming off a monster game against the Lions defense. Is Geno Smith one of the top streaming options at quarterbacks right now, Barry?
I wish he was playing somebody other than New Orleans. He's on the road at New Orleans. But I think he's viable in two quarterback leagues. Yeah, because, again, he's had two passing touchdowns in three out of the four games so far this year, as you see right there on the screen. He leads the NFL in completion percentage. Feels like they are, letting Geno cook a little bit here. He's running a little bit. Their defense isn't good. So on the road at the Saints, I think he's a top 20 option. Deeper leagues only. But, yes, in the right matchup, I think he could be a possible streamer. 2 weeks from now, he plays. He's home to Arizona. That defense is bad. We mentioned Tua Tagovailoa is not going to play this week. So Teddy Bridgewater, he's on the streaming list. They're at the New York Jets. 193 yards, a touchdown, interception in relief of Tua. He'll have a full week to prepare with one of the best offenses behind him.
Yeah, and the Jets rank bottom 10 in yards per attempt and touchdown passes allowed this season. Mike McDaniel worked with Robert Saleh for a long time. He's going to know the ins and outs of that defense. Good sign for that offense, even with Teddy at the helm and staying within this game. Zach Wilson's back. Interesting point production because he caught a touchdown. So, it's not going to be that every week. But do you give Zach Wilson any kind of look? Because he's a guy we know can run when need be.
We do. And Miami's allowed the second most passing yards this season. So, he's a really interesting, DFS play. He's an interesting, a bet for the over on the passing yards as well. Just so much of a wide range of outcomes for Zach Wilson here. But, again, Joe Flacco had some fantasy production here. Don't mind him. I wouldn't want to use him as my only starter, but don't mind grabbing and stashing in deeper leagues.
Two tight ends really quickly. Mo Alie-Cox available in 95% of leagues. Big Mo Alie-Cox week.
Let the record show, I did not bring up Mo Alie-Cox first. It was Connor J. Rogers there as well. 17% target share in week 4. Season high, 70% of snaps. The problem is that the usage has been inconsistent, but hopefully the big production on this past Sunday leads to more work here. We know what a red zone threat he is. It's been a three-headed monster in Indy, but with JT banged up, maybe he gets more run here. It's kind of thin at tight end on the waiver wire.
Back to Seattle, Will Disley.
Hey now.
Right now. That is tight end 7 to you, Will Disley, right now.
12 or more fantasy points in 3 or 4 games this season. He scored a touchdown in all 3. He's been he was targeted on 20% of his routes.
Geno loves him.
In week 4, Geno loves him. Again, if we're saying Geno is viable, so is his tight end, Will Disley, who's playing more snaps than Noah Fant, it feels like at this point. They like Disley as a blocker. In deeper leagues, in deeper tight end premium leagues, I do think Will Disley's a thing who has had fantasy success before. Little touchdown dependent, but what tight end isn't?
That's the world of tight ends. All right, we're going to take a break. When we're back, it's time for Last Call.
They got me some Boone's Farm.
We have a fantasy league here at the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. And while we're on break, Barry, looks like you got a trade in your inbox.
Yeah, it's a 14-team league. We wanted to make sure everyone on the show got involved here. And so Matt Casey, the only reason there's a Chad Pennington jersey on the set, tweets at me, let's go big shot, let's mix it up. He wants to trade me Allen Robinson for my Kyle Pitts. Absolutely not. Matt Casey, I said early in the show that I thought I preferred Kyle Pitts rest of the season to Allen Robinson. It's easier to replace Allen Robinson. I have nice wide receivers in this league. I have Irv Smith as well in case Pitts. I would rather hang on to Pitts and not take on the dead carcass of Allen Robinson.
You almost got swindled.
Unbelievable, Matt Casey. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace out.